This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And Ciso. Oh, it's fabulous! A strike to get you up off your feet!
Hello, welcome to Seagull Social Season... What are we, Ben?
Four.
Season... Four episode, something else.
Five,
I don't think we've. I've not got something. A title on my. Is it five? It might be five.
I think so,
for some reason, it's not on here. But do you know what? It doesn't really matter because it could be season, episode, anything. As far as I'm concerned, Brighton have beaten Manchester United for the fourth time in a row in the Premier League. Wipe the floor with them, may I add, by the way, for the
Too
sixth
easy.
Or seventh time. But before we get into all of the good stuff, Ben, you're looking very, very tired, my friend. How are you?
I'm so done. I got up at 6 yesterday and got home at 4:30 in the morning. It's been a wild, wild time. But it was, I think up there with the best away day ever. We were trying to figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
Like what in terms of away days. I think people were saying Arsenal away last season. You may say, what Arsenal away day? Because we spanked them twice at the Emirates last season. But I think the Premier League one was obviously up there. But for me, maybe it's recency bias. But yeah, that Manchester United away day was just... incredible. I went out and afterwards when I got back to Brighton and celebrated until the early hours, but no regrets, mate. Otherwise, how are you?
No regrets, apart from the fact I've probably got a bit of a one-man band on this podcast. I wouldn't be surprised if
it
turns the first ever solo episode by the end of it, but we'd like to think we can make it to the end. But I'm very good, mate. I'm very, very happy, I've got to be honest. I've got so many southern Manchester United fans that I really just don't like. And for this reason alone, it just makes it so much sweeter because they've never been into Old Trafford before in their life, and it just makes it funnier. So when it comes back around, mate, they all live around the corner. They've never been to a game in their life. And finally...
We support our local team.
Finally, we can say... We've beaten you four times in a row. It's fantastic, isn't it, really? Because the way we played... Considering, by the way, the team that De Zerbi put out, and I think this is the biggest talking point of probably the whole thing. Obviously, United started quite well. I think Match of the Day sort of analysed it quite well and how they just start with a diamond sort of thing. Shout Isaac, United Cloud said the same. He said that he was quite confident with how they set up originally. But knowing De Zerbi, he just sort of, I don't know how he does it, but he flicks the gear. He knows how to get through whatever they try to play, right? I'm not going to try and get into it because it'd be a very long podcast episode. But the way that De Zerbi be able to change up the team and break through that, it was just such a lovely goal as well, because the way we played leading up to it, I've got so much buzzing in me right now. I can't even present properly. But
I know, I'm not doing the episode justice because I've no energy
nice.
For one of the biggest game like results in our club's history, and I'm here just absolutely fried.
We started a bit worryingly. The team was a bit, I wouldn't say worried, but I'd say I was probably looking at it, Ben, like gross Lallana pivot doesn't always end well.
Yeah. Especially with, big beasts like Casemiro in the midfield, you think, God, they're just going to get absolutely bullied, but it was the complete opposite. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw Adam Lallana take out Casemiro at one point, which is nuts.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Lallana didn't snap in half when he just looked at him. Lallana snapping in half, not Casemiro. But yeah, I mean, I think worried probably is the right word when we saw the lineup. I think a lot of people were. Mm. People were maybe not as surprised because of Purvis was missing, because I think there was talk of him being tired after travelling back from Ecuador.
Yeah.
Tired bonnet. Oh my God, it's lightning. Jesus. If you hear, sorry, that was really distracting. And then, yeah, obviously, Lallana starting was maybe a bit of a shock. No Solly March. Apparently, he didn't train in the week. So that was, I didn't know that. Oh, there's the thunder. Brilliant. God, this is going to be so distracted now. But yeah, no, it was worrying. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, something like that. And then, obviously, Lamptey at left back. And you think, well, he's done a job there before. But obviously, Man United's more a different beast. Maybe not at the moment. But yeah, I mean, the doubts were soon. Well, no, to fair, that first 20 minutes, I was like, oh, this isn't looking good. And the lineup, we were worried about that. And then, yeah, the first 20 minutes, they battered us, really. Derby said that they start, Man United played how they didn't expect them to, which is quite rare. Normally, we're pretty well organised and know what we're going to be up against. But yeah, I mean, fair play to Man United. They're really, really good. Rashford looked really, really good. Jason Steele made that big, big save with his legs. And I think it kind of just turned after that, didn't it? I think that's when the tides changed. That first 20 was pretty ropey.
Yeah, not to mention, I mean, obviously the changes we did make, obviously the players we were missing in Estupiñán, in Solly March as well, they're very, very big players for us. I mean, it can't be doubted as to how much that Estupiñán's helped us this season, Solly March the same last season too. So for those reasons alone, Simon Adingra obviously coming in, we know he's very good, a very good talent. Did we know he was going to be as good defensively, perhaps, as what I picked up on? I think he won a lot of tackles, won a few headers as well. Put in a really good shift, sort of getting up and down on that right side, helping out Veltman at times as well. Obviously, the way we play is so sort of dynamic, isn't it? So the amount of times you've got to have one of your attackers dropping back and vice versa. I thought, yeah, Adingra really, really surprised me for the better, I'd say. Absolutely run his socks off, I think. By the time the end of the game came around, it was about time we got subbed off, Ben.
Yeah, he was knackered. But yeah, he was really, really good. I think during pre-season, when it was against, was it Newcastle, Brentford, when he scored? Obviously, he looked really, really good down the left, which is where he played a lot at USG, and I'm sure that's probably his normal position as well.
Yeah.
So I can't remember what game he played, but he played on the right, and he didn't really look as good on the right. But yeah, against United, he was very, very good. I think it was Reguilon's first game for Man United. You know what? I didn't even realise Reguilon was played until the second half. I thought he'd come on at half time, but yeah, apparently started the game.
I forgot they had him actually until, I think
so random.
When he made a move, yeah, and then I thought, oh my God, hang on a minute, they got Reggie on, haven't they?
Mm.
So, but yeah.
Dingra was skinning everyone for pace, and he was he was very, very good. And obviously, the assist, especially I think with his weaker foot as well, Lallana's dummy through the legs, we really turned it on, and then the whole game changed for that after that goal. But yeah, fair play to Adingra because he was very, very good in the build up to the goal. But I loved watching him play, and I was quite surprised he started. Yeah. Obviously, considering the talent that we have on the bench, like João Pedro not starting, I think maybe that would have been an opportunity for him to maybe play on the right or start on the right. But the Zerbi got it right once again, didn't they?
Yeah, and it comes across, who's it going to fall to? I mean, if it's going to be anyone against Manchester United that you want it to fall to, Danny Welbeck's the boy. Away. I mean, if it's not Danny Welbeck, it's Pascal Gross, who also got on the score sheet, it's worth noting. But Danny Welbeck, I think he's got one of the best records of a returning United player. He's now got 5 goals against them, 6 goals against them since returning back to Old Trafford. So it's amazing, really, for us, because obviously he turned into such a meme, didn't he, when he was at Watford? He turned into a bit of a meme at Arsenal. I felt a bit bad for him, really. I thought yesterday, I thought he really, really put a good shift in. Always seems to turn up in big games like this. Especially, I don't know about you, but like when he's not expected to do something, but he sort of just comes in as a bit of a surprise act, rather than being the person that starts and leads the line. I feel like when he's not got as much pressure on him, because we had João Pedro, we had Ansu Fati, we had Evan Ferguson on the bench, it was a bit like, well, Danny, you know, your chances now. If you don't deliver, we've got other players.
Yeah.
He always seems to deliver in them sort of moments to me.
Because against Newcastle, I wasn't glad he was injured, but I was glad that he was unavailable, because then it gave Evan Ferguson the opportunity, and I was crying for Evan Ferguson just to play, because at West Ham, Welbeck and Evan Ferguson didn't work well. So then when I saw Welbeck starting against Man United, I can't lie, I was a bit like, ugh. Can't we not just play Evan Ferguson, because we know what he's about? But yeah, I mean, I quickly ate my words, because yeah, Welbeck had an unbelievable game. And you know what? That's probably the right decision. I mean, obviously it was because he scored, but starting a player like Welbeck against Man United at Old Trafford, I think it's a lot better having experience up top, someone that can hold up the ball well, rather than maybe Evan Ferguson. So probably, yeah, I'm not going to say probably right decision, because yeah, the Serbia obviously got it right. I absolutely love Welle, and also unbelievable bloke as well. Just absolutely so sound. I think one of my mates that used to work at the training ground, just said like how nice he is. Just like a really, really sound guy, treats everyone really, really nicely. And you can kind of tell that in his interviews, can't you? That how much of like a sound bloke he is.
It always helps the players, just nice. I mean, there's so many arrogant footballers these days, a lot of egos around, particularly in the Premier League.
Especially at Man United.
Yeah, exactly. You just think it doesn't actually take that much just to be quite nice, does it? I think that's the good thing about Daniel Welbeck and stuff like that. You've got players who just care about the game, care about their team. You know, they don't just care about themselves. I think probably Welbeck had that when he first broke out into the United team. It probably was an individual. Now, in that sort of maturity era that he's in, it's so much different. And while we're on the subject of maturity era, I just want to mention this man just once, because deserves it. Lewis Dunk, alongside JP, by the way. But I think I counted at least 7 chests that he did, maybe 8 or 9. It's obscene. I mean, the one that he did back to Jason Steele, when we were a bit under it a little bit, we had them coming at us quite a bit, and it was just a bit of a chest back to Steele. I mean, you saw Ramsdale's comment, I assume, where he said, I got the famous chest back. and I think, yeah, when that happened, I was just a bit like, okay, why am I worried? Because he's not. So after that, I just thought, we're going to be all right now. I was going into that with a lot of confidence, but when you see Lewis Dunk doing his little chest back, you think, okay, we're okay. Because if he's like this, then we're fine. I mean, when you see Dunk sort of diving
for England
in,
as well,
he's not.
For England, you're so good. I don't think we've spoken about it for England.
No, we haven't.
Because we recorded the Man United podcast preview before, the day of the Scotland game. And yeah, he was phenomenal, wasn't he? And like, he was really, really good for England. Yeah, he done the chest back to Ramsdale. I think that chest back is becoming like more, well, almost as iconic as Pascal Gross's Gross turn. Because I think we need to start allaying every time that Lewis Dunk just chests it back.
Yeah.
Because he's just become so iconic. He's so good at it. It's nuts. Like, that can go so wrong. The ball can, the fact he can just get it to rebound so well with his chest into the arms of Jason Steele or any keeper is ridiculous.
It's genuinely.
If I tried doing it, I'd probably just hit my chest and just drop to the floor, and the striker just picks it up and scores. But obviously, I'm not.
I can't even emphasize enough to someone that's never tried to. Say you're a football fan, but you've never played football. You know, you can't emphasize enough as to how hard that is to do. Like, you really. It's really. It sounds ridiculous, but it's got to be one of the most measured sort of skill moves that you've got to be able to pull off. Like, forget all of the sort of, you know, Rabonas and all that sort of fun stuff, rainbow flicks and everything. Don't get wrong, I absolutely love that side of the game. But then to control a chest back to a keeper perfectly weighted pretty much 10 out of 10 times, I'd say is probably one of the most underrated forms of a skill move you can get. Because I just you don't really see it happen very often. And two, it's exceptionally hard to even try and do. And if you don't believe
me,
especially for a
defender,
that's
not meant
to
be that skillful.
Yeah, go down the park right now, get someone to ping a ball across to you, and then just chest it. And I guarantee you, it's going to be a lot harder than you think it is.
Imagine someone actually tries that. Maybe not right now, because it's thunder and lightning.
Yeah, if you do film it and send it to us, if you can do the dunk chest back, that'd be quite a good one.
We'll get one from Jack Albion, probably. Just some parking port play, just trying to chest it.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Jack, I will see you doing that. Lewis Dunk, absolutely fantastic yesterday. Colossal, as always. One more little thing he did, we sort of chest it back, and then he lobs it over. I think it was Bruno Fernandes who was behind him, back to steal.
Oh, so, yeah.
Absolute joke, like, stupidly good. Anyway, that's why I was so happy with the first half, because a lot of people were saying, how about you? Because of the first 20 minutes, they were like, you know, Man United probably coming back into this. But I don't know. I just felt really, really confident when we sort of held that out. Obviously, we had the controversial moment where Højlund didn't score. It's not a debate, is it? It was out, right?
Yeah, it was out. 100%. And I was right at the back of the away end. And we had like the police officers behind us, obviously just watching over, but they had TVs behind them as well. So as soon as it happened, like when literally still was Højlund was scoring, he was behind me, he just goes, it's not a goal, the ball's over line. I was like, what? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, no way. And then obviously it took like 5 minutes for him to make the decision or whatever. But yeah, he was behind us going, no, it's no goal. He was like pointing at the TV that he was watching. And then we saw it before it was even announced. So we started celebrating in the crowd. And everyone was like, why are you celebrating? It's like, he's just said it's just said us over the line. So that was a relief, because you think if maybe they get that goal, then maybe the game changes a little bit. But I think that definitely just like deflated Man United even more and gave us more confidence to then go on. And obviously the second half was just unbelievable. But I mean, yeah, Rashford done quite well, obviously, without the ball went out of play, but he done well up to that point. And it was just a quite annoying goal to concede like that. Like Brasmus just like toe poking it in the bottom corner like that. It was a bit of a shit goal to concede.
Yeah. And that's sort of, I won't just jump, but when obviously Hannibal scored that goal, don't get wrong, it's a good finish. But I thought when he scored that and then Højlund scored that, those are the only two real ways I could see them scoring anyway. I never really felt like we were, okay, they had quite a few crosses into the box. Rashford had a few chances, in fact.
We made some very, very good blocks.
Well, yeah, Veltman, we did.
Dahoud made a really good one. I think Dunk made a really good one. I think they were all in the first half as well, like the really solid blocks.
Still made a couple of good saves as well, first half. But never really did I think that they were actually going to score. I don't know if that sounds really silly, but I thought when Hannibal scored that goal, I just thought, we'll be all right though, because that's what it's taken them to score. And they've not done anything before then to even give me a reason to think that they're going to score again.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, okay, they might have a bit of possession now, and they did. But then that sort of just fizzled out again, and we had it again. If anything, we could have gone up the other end, obviously, Ansu and a couple of others. We could have had four or five.
God, mate, if Ansu Fati scored, Ryan.
Oh, and
Mitoma, my God,
well,
that would have topped off that away. That would have made the away day the best away day, Brian, away day ever.
Yeah.
If Fati had scored that, like, that would have been the cherry.
Fati's coming on, Fati's coming on.
That was so funny. We were just like, we would go, oh, waiting for him to come on. I can't even remember what song we were singing. What was it? Was he scored?
Hansu Fati's magic. Where's magic?
Oh yeah, where's his magic hat? Scores with left foot.
I think that chance existed for absolutely years now. So it's like, I think we had it for David Stockdale at one point as well. So it's just like mental. But yeah, James Wilson. James Wilson. So we had it for. That's a random memory.
Did we? Fucking hell.
Yeah, James Wilson. What memory? For Man United as well. Funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, so point of the matter is Lewis Dunk was fantastic. We made a couple of good blocks. As you say, Jason Steele deserves the credit. Got into the game really, really well. I thought his passing was superb, as pretty much always. As we said, that sort of double number one thing worked so well. I'm a big fan of it, I've got to be honest. Because, again, you wouldn't have gone around anyone saying Verbruggen's been dropped. And you wouldn't have gone around to anyone saying Steele shouldn't start because of Verbruggen. It was just, he's right for this one. And I think that he's got the fans' trust in his decisions now, De Zerbi, with, you know, a number one, which is mad to say. But the fact we can rotate as regularly as you could in midfield in your goalkeeping spot, it's mad. So very, very happy with Steele's performance, if I'm honest. Yeah. Okay, move on to second half. I thought we played very, very well from here on in. I thought this is where we really asserted our dominance. I thought particularly Lallana. When Lallana's on it, he's a joy to watch, isn't he?
Yeah.
He just runs
very good. I haven't seen him play that well since, well, Leicester away before he got injured, I don't think. That was when he was like very, very good. It's just so good to see him play like that. It's mad just to think like how old he is as well. Same with like Welbeck. They're both getting on a bit, but they're still like dominating a match at Old Trafford with obviously some big boys on the pitch for Man United. I absolutely love Lallana. Yeah, he's so class. Just very classy player. Yes, very classy player. And he brings out the best in all the other players around him. I think the creativity he has and he just knows where everyone is constantly. The little flicks he does, the little turns he does. Mm. Yeah, you can tell he's been playing at such a high level for Liverpool.
Yeah. It's crazy to suggest, but I think if he just had the injuries on his side, he really, really, really could have been such a top player. Like, really, really top player. Imagine him playing in that Liverpool team back when they had Firmino and Mane and Salah on their form, on their prime form with Coutinho. If Lallana would just stay fit, he could have been so, so big in that Champions League winning side. It's a shame, really, when you look at it. It's good for us because it means we get hold of him. But for his career's sake, he really, really could have been up there. I don't think I ever truly appreciated how good he is until he came here.
Yeah, no, same.
See, Yeah, definitely. He's superb to watch. Like, you could really, really see the class.
I think it's because he was surrounded by unbelievable players at Liverpool. So you kind of just, he just kind of blended in there. But when you obviously put him in a Brighton team, especially under Potter, when we were playing in that blue kit during lockdown, you kind of, you can see the difference. You can see the levels there immediately from where he's come from. But yeah, he's been brilliant. And yeah, like I said, he brings out the best in other players. And I think he just makes the, he's obviously an unbelievable leader. He seems like a really, really good coach as well. Obviously, was he coaching the under-21s as well during the international break, which is so good to see for us as well. Hopefully, when he does retire, he'll end up, he'll still continue to coach with us. I'd love him to stay at the club.
Yeah, no, I agree. And to move on to, I'm gonna use that as a link, that lockdown thing, because Lamptey, 2 assists yesterday.
Oh, yes. Lamptey.
And we've been banging on about lockdown Lamptey since I can remember. We are seeing it now, and I can't say we're starting to. We are, because he was so good yesterday, particularly that second half. He really, really came into the game. He was playing left back as well, and as we mentioned sort of earlier, of course. But I mean, the assists he got, very, very, very reassuring, because that's the Lamptey that we saw all the way back when, and it's really, really nice to see him getting his name on the score sheet, isn't it?
Yeah. Or assist sheet, but yeah, he was so good. Yeah, showing his pace again, taking on players. It worked really well, him being like almost like an inverted fullback or wing back.
Yeah,
just it worked really well against them. And yeah, he was class. I think he looked absolutely shattered at one point. I remember, I think it was like the 60th minute, the ball went out of play, and he just had his hands on his knees, like bent over. I was like, mate, this kid's giving it his all. And yeah, our wishes have come true, Ryan, because yeah, like you said, we've been praying for lockdown Lamptey to come back, and we are seeing him again. And it's in a season when we need him the most, because we were looking pretty poor for cover at left back, but now we do have cover there. You can consider Lamptey as a good option at left back now, which is a massive, massive plus, because it looks like that Barco guy is going to City, who we wanted. The ginger lad from Boca, which would have been a good signing for us to pick up in January or whatever. But unfortunately, we're going to miss out on him. But that means Lamptey can step up. And if he can stay fit, please, Lamptey, for Christ's sake, stay fit. We've got an absolute player on our hands. And even just an unbelievable weapon to bring off the bench as well. Like against Newcastle, when he played almost like a right winger when he came on. So yeah, it's so good to have him back and getting 2 assists. I think, obviously, Pascal Gross won man of the match, I think. But I would, for personally.
He won Club's Man of the Match, didn't he?
Okay.
He won Fans Player.
But for me, I would have given it to Lamptey, just for the like the sentimental, for him being back and rewarding him for that.
He's so lovable, isn't he? I think if you were to ask everyone in that crowd, I think pretty much all of them are going to say they love Tarek. He's such a likeable character, but also we all know how good he is. And I think that's what's the thing that gives us the most faith, because he sort of carried that team, didn't he, really, in the lockdown era. The amount of chances he created, he was getting so many cross the box, and none of them seemed to work, because obviously Mope and Trossard's finished lockdown.
Because it was falling to Neil Mope.
And Trossbar as well, wasn't it? So we had some horrible finishing back then. But yeah, good to see Trossard doing well anyway with him now with asking for more game time. God, it seems like a curse when these players leave us, honestly. But yeah,
that is funny. Yeah.
Exactly the same situation, isn't it? But we already knew that was going to happen before he went. Anyway, don't need to talk about Trossard. He's gone.
Lamptey assisted Pascal Gross. That was the beautiful. And the way Pascal Gross sent Martinez flying, it was so funny. So funny. When I was watching the replay.
The butcher
got absolutely ruined by Pascal Gross, man. It's ridiculous. And it's a very, very good finish from Gross. But it's just
the fact you can say ruined, and ruined it him. Doesn't even do it justice as to how much he got destroyed. Like, he got sent so far back. It was so funny to watch. Like, the guy went back to Argentina literally just to celebrate the World Cup win in 2022. Like, he was gone. And the way that... Oh, Gross, every single time we play Manchester United, they must hate him. They must really, really, really hate him. I said this on that United View podcast thing that we went on. Shout out United View, by the way. They're actually quite good guys, and whatever. But I was very, very confident going on there. And I was like, all the comments, if you read the comments, they're like, Brighton fans need to be humble. Brighton fans need to be humble.
Yeah, always.
And I was just like, mate, I said, I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm not trying to be cocky. I said, the only arrogant thing I could probably say that I can say confidently is that if you try and attack us, I fancy us to win, because we're really good at dealing with that. And that's probably the most arrogant thing I could say.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Don't get me wrong, I was so confident going into this game, which is dangerous. Yeah. It normally backfires when I go confident into a game. Because when we were playing well, when everything was going right for us, everything was going wrong for Man United, and you thought, oh, maybe this is the time when they'll get a win or whatever. But we just continued to just impress. And we have every right to be confident at the moment. And also, I did say 3-1. That was my prediction.
Fortunately,
don't win any money for that. But that was good. Nice one. We have every right to be confident right now. And even going into, Athens... We should obviously win that as well, and we have a right to be confident. So that one day it's going to bite us in the arse for being confident, but right now we've just got to embrace it and enjoy it whilst we can.
Yeah, exactly. Like we're so used to not being like that. We're used to being not confident at all going into most games. We'll be thinking, oh God, you know, we're either going to throw this away or we're going to be lucky to keep the score down. That's what it used to be all the time. You know, if we score, we're going to throw it away. And if we go away from home to a game, we're probably going to lose by 2-0 or more. That was it. And that was it. And we would just hope that our home form would keep us up. And maybe we'd beat the odd big six team because we'd be up for it. And we'd celebrate a throw-in every single time. that was it. And don't get me wrong.
We could make well throw-ins.
But it's true. And we could make well end back there. And I'd still be happy with that because I'm a Brighton fan. And at the end of the day, that's where we come from. And, you know, if we got relegated back down, it would still mean something, but why would we not want to enjoy this moment and be as cocky and arrogant, if you like, as possible? Because we're in unforeseen territory that we never thought we'd be in. To be going to Old Trafford without even really an ounce of doubt in my mind that we're going to win. I knew we were going to win, and I was there. I was like, we are going to win this game. I said on the podcast last week, we will finish above Manchester United. You and Jack looked at me like I was some crazy guy who said ridiculous. And I just thought, I just don't think they're very good. And I just think we are very, very good. And I would be very surprised if we don't finish above them. And I'm going to stick to that for the rest of the season. And we'll see what happens. Maybe they, you know, get a bit of form, and they probably will. But
you'd expect.
I still think we're good.
At one point, surely.
Yeah, but I want to touch on Gross a bit more because we didn't do him justice, really. Because what a legend! I think it's worth not just noting the fact he's a legend, because it's become just the usual thing, saying De Kaiser on everyone's Instagram comments, and everyone gets like a bunch of likes on Twitter, and that's how everyone does it now. Rather than giving him the actual credit he deserves, which is basically playing a bit of a De Bruyne role for us this season. He sort of drops in half spaces now. And I see the vision of what we're doing. It's really, really good. And I think that, as I said, that Isaac, who I mentioned earlier, said the same. He said that Lisandro Martinez. He just didn't know how to deal with him. And same with, who was their right back at the time? Dalot. I think he got forward a couple of times, but they just don't know what to do with him. And I think that's the thing, because he's so creative, because he can pretty much play anywhere across midfield. So if he is deep, he can still receive the ball and he can take the ball. He's got pretty much world-class passing. So if he's got the ball deep, he can play a ball wide. He can play a ball centrally. He can do short passes, long passes. So he's a dream manager's midfielder in that he can pretty much do anything that a midfielder needs to do apart from have pace. And I think that
imagine if he
really
had pace,
matter.
He would literally be one of the best players in the world.
Yeah, because his attributes are so perfect all around the board. His finishing is very good. His creating chance is probably one of the best in the world. It is one of the best in the world statistically. And not to mention his passing is so good. And I think that, he's really just... It's almost like he ages better every year. It's weird. You think that Gross, you know, this year he's going to be the one where he slows down a bit, maybe. Maybe start playing João Pedro in that position. But it doesn't look like any sign of getting tired at all. It just seems to be getting better for him, doesn't it?
Mm. He's got to be the most underrated player in the Premier League for sure. I think people just sleep on him still, and I can't see him ever like moving, because I don't feel like a club are going to sign Pascal Gross. So it's a weird one. But he's arguably one of our best players. But even though we're full of unbelievable players, he's criminally underrated. But you know, if people keep overlooking him, the opposition overlook him, then we're only going to benefit from it. But he's been class, and I'm so happy. I think we spoke about it before, but so happy that he got that call up to Germany. Shame about how it ended with the manager getting sacked the first time in 123 years of German history, which is nuts. But hopefully whoever's in charge next time will call him up again, and he'll probably start, because apparently he played quite well for Germany, considering they lost like 4-1 to Japan. And I think, they did beat France, didn't they? But I don't know if he played. I didn't actually watch that.
No, I didn't look.
But yeah, my point is criminally underrated, and you summed him up brilliantly about how good he is at everything apart from pace, which is...
It's his intelligence, isn't it? His IQ is out of this world for particularly us, but just for the league in general. I don't know what he has to do to be recognised for it, because he's genuinely got one of the biggest footballing IQs in the league, and it's not even a joke. I mean, he starts that Manchester United team easily, and I think that the chance he creates are so valuable, and they have been for so many years. It just beggars belief as to what he could have done if he was in a big, big team for all them years. Yeah. You know, he could have been recognised as one of the best out there, and I think that that's the same thing to say.
Remember him nearly, I think we mention it every time we talk about him or say how good he is, but do you remember when he like almost fell off like under Houghton, he was going to leave, and that was him done.
Played him deep, didn't he?
Yeah, imagine if we lost Pascal Gross. I think he wanted to go back to Germany. And now look at him now. It is nuts. And yeah, he's finally earned his got that call up, which is he's needed way more call ups for sure. But hopefully this will be the first of many for him.
Yeah, no, I agree. Pascal Gross, absolute goat. Icon, goat. Yeah, well and truly. And yeah, we are in the good times, Ben, because it doesn't get much better than when Tarek Lamptey crosses it to João Pedro, first time finish past some fraud in goal, by the way. Awful goalkeeper, this guy. Onana is terrible. Imagine going from De Gea to Onana. It's Onana again. He scored again. No, it's awful. But Tarek Lamptey, by the way, getting forward again. João Pedro, fantastic finish, by the way. That is such a good goal.
Yeah,
it's just the way
he opened his foot and got the power on it like that was nuts. It's so good. So good.
Agree. And it came from a bit of a De Zerbi ball move, didn't it? Like it started quite deep. I think we tried to get forward a couple of times, and then we sort of gone back. Adingra comes forward, comes back again, and it was just sort of biding our time every time, aren't we? We're just floating and waiting for the right moment, and then when that moment comes, we just flick into gear. Tarek's running, João Pedro's running. There's a dummy run off the ball. And then all of a sudden we've scored. And it's weird to be saying this.
Always a very similar goal as well. I think Mark Goldbridge was like, it's happened again. It's happened again. They've done it again. Yeah, and it was. It looked like a carbon copy of the Dinger run, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I don't even know how to explain our goal scoring sort of abilities at the moment. Because, this time around it's happened again. It's the same goal. But we don't score the same goal every time. I think that's what's a joy. It used to be, you know, we'd maybe score from a corner. If we got a penalty, we'd score from one of them, hopefully, but we could have missed.
Probably missed back in the day.
The most likely situation of us scoring a goal would have been a corner, probably. When we first got promoted, Lewis Dunk or Shane Duff would have got the red on it. And then you compare it in comparison to now, or Glenn Murray would have got a tap in. And you compare it to now, we can score from nearly any scenario. It's such a big sort of testament to De Zerbi what he's instilled, because, you know, he couldn't have said this under Potter, and I'm not disregarding Potter's time here, but we couldn't have said that under Potter, could we, that we can score from any situation. But we can score from crosses, we can score from build-up play, we can score from corners now. We seem to be able to score from anywhere, don't we?
There was that incredible stat on Match of the Day when the title of the stat was of the graphic was literally just Brighton are brilliant or Brighton are so brilliant or something like that. And have we got the most shots on target in the Premier League since De Zerbi took over? I think we've got like the second best XG. Second best possession, obviously only behind Manchester City, obviously.
We were leading, a lot of stats though, weren't we?
Yeah, we're leading all the important stats, really, or near enough leading, which is nuts. And like, obviously, we kind of bantered Graham Potter, but obviously he laid the foundations down for what De Zerbi's got now. So credit to Potter for doing that. But yeah, De Zerbi's just taken us to another level. And the fact we can score so many goals and look so threatening every time we attack, it's a joy to watch.
Unassailable levels as well. It's just incomparable when you look at it now. It's just madness. And as you say, them stats, first, second, you know, it's all well and good saying all this. At what point do we have the conversation, Ben?
Of De Zerbi, leaving us, second, first
in all these stats and all these really, really important stats. We're top,
are you about
top,
to say
top,
we're
second,
title
top,
contenders?
Top. I didn't say anything. I just said when we have a conversation
about
those stats.
Are you actually going to do that? Title contenders. Well, there's the title for the podcast. Title contenders. Yeah, for sure.
I'm just saying Leicester won the league with less.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it on Twitter a few times. Not from Brighton fans as well. I was like, people asking the question, people saying it, being title contenders, which is nuts. I think we can't get ahead of ourselves here.
Why?
Because we're not. Maybe right now, if you looked at the league table, then you have to say yes. But it depends if we can do this, carry this on for the whole season. Then obviously we're title contenders because the format we're in is incredible.
That's not how football works. But then,
if we're going to be absolutely mental and consider this and talk about being title contenders, then yeah, maybe we are because of the way we're playing and the levels that we're at right now is incredible. So if we don't drop off, then we'll be fine. But what was the point I was trying to make is if you look at teams that we play, that's what I was going to say. If you look at the teams that we're going to be playing soon, a lot of them think, oh yeah, we should win there. Maybe we've got Villa and Liverpool coming up soon, haven't we?
Yeah. Beat Villa, beat Liverpool, draw with City. And then that's when I can start thinking it.
What, Liverpool? Yeah, we got Liverpool home, Villa away, isn't it? And then City.
Yeah, if we get 6 out of them, or if we get 4 points out of them two games.
Those are three very difficult games. So if we get out of those three games and we've got some decent points on the board still from them. So maybe, again, we never do well against Villa, especially away at Villa Park.
No, we don't. We've never beaten them there, have we?
That's going to be a big, big game to see how far we've come. If we win that, then unbelievable scenes. Because they, obviously, I think they beat Palace 3-1 yesterday, didn't they? But they scored like goals.
Yeah, it's quite
very
a funny
late
turnaround,
on.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite a funny turnaround. Like, it was peak because I don't think it should have been a penalty, but it's Palace, so it's funny.
I haven't watched it yet, so.
Who was it? Omar Richards. He took down Ollie Watkins in the box, and then the referee was sent over to VAR to obviously check it, and then the referee stuck with his on-field decision, which is quite funny.
Very rare
to happen. Yeah, the penalty stood. But yeah, if we get past Villa, if we beat them, unbelievable, what a result. If we beat Liverpool at home, again, would be an unbelievable result.
Very possible, by the way. We've done it. Did the double over from last year? No, we drew with them at their place, beat them 3-0 at our place, and beat them again in the Cup.
In the Cup,
Again, it's not out of the question to say that we could beat Liverpool. Yeah. And it's not out of the question to say...
City's obviously an L. That's just a guaranteed L, surely.
But is it, though?
Because in that second half of...
Hear me out. Second half of the Etihad, when De Zerbi first came in, I thought, and everyone thought, we played very, very well, probably could have got a point there. And it was only because of that world-class goal that De Bruyne scored that it really set the tone. And bear in mind, that was De Zerbi's like third or fourth game in, and we played really well. Then the second one at the Amex, obviously I know they've already won the league, but we drew with them, and Van Hecke did a very, very good job of shutting up Erling Haaland, quite notoriously. Now, I'm not saying we're going to go beat City at the Etihad. And I'm not saying we're going to go win all these games.
We're already debating being title contenders. We can't now go and say we're going to beat City.
Hear me out. So I'm saying the way we play is very, very good. And I'm not actually saying we're going to win the league. But I'm certainly saying for that top end of the table, and seriously, I don't think that there's many teams better than us. And I think that's what's surreal to say. If you went through that whole Premier League table purely on paper, you'd be looking down on most of them teams. And I think that leaves you with the top four, top five. I think fifth gets Champions League this year, right?
Because next year is they're expanding it, aren't they? They're doing the whole new tournament thing,
yeah.
Which is going to be, it's going to be a league, isn't it? The Champions League, which is, well, all of Europe's going to be a league, which I hate, by the way. Mm. But they're having, so they're having, I think, maybe two more teams or four more teams in the Champions League next year. And yeah, we get a part, if we do well in the coefficient, well, I think that's how it works. This is just from Football Manager. That's the only reason why I know it. Then yeah, you get fifth. The best league gets fifth, another place, which will probably be the Premier League anyway, because we are the best league in the world. So yeah, we probably will get the fifth spot, which will be, gives us more chance to get in the Champions League, which would be, that's an objective I'm sure De Zerbi's aiming for, surely. Because I remember last year, didn't De Zerbi say that was the objective? They were thinking about
to
it.
Get
they were
trying League, to, yeah, yeah.
To get Champions League. That was last season. So imagine they've got to be really thinking it.
So
now,
what are they aiming for this season, Ben?
Champions League, I think they're aiming for that for sure.
Hey, listen, but I could do this all day. This is a very enjoyable thing to debate.
It's
about.
Funny. Mate. We kept talking about it yesterday on the train. Just like, I know we always say it, we're classic little old Brighton, how far we've come, but we have come so far. It is ridiculous. Yeah. And now we're playing in Europe. Wait, we've just beaten Man United 3-1 at Old Trafford. And now we're playing in the Europa League. We're playing in Europe on Thursday. It's insane. Insane. The journey has been incredible. And everyone that's watched them when we were crap in League Two, when we were shit in League One, Tony Bloom took us over, gave us hope. We thought, oh my God, there's a chance. We'll get promoted to the Championship. That's going to be amazing. Then we got to the Championship and we thought, oh my God, we're the league below the Premier League. What the hell? But we'll never get there. Maybe it'll take us 10 years in the Championship to get up to the Premier League. It did, and we done it pretty quickly. And now we're absolutely killing it in the Premier League. It is unbelievable.
Yeah, and I just think it's a matter of time before people really, really take it seriously. And I really hope that it does happen soon enough because, you know, you say we go on these podcasts, you go on these places. Let's say I went on there saying, Pascal Gross, your nemesis, and I said that we're going to win. I think there was a player swap question over who I'd have in their team, Man United players that I'd have in our team. And I had to really, really, really think about it. I said, I think I'd take Sancho to revive him. That had him laughing, right? But the thing is,
De Zerbi would. Yeah, Brighton fans, we understand that is the case, that could happen.
That would work.
Not signing Sancho, but I mean, like, it actually working out,
Yeah, and then I said, maybe we could do with the right back, so I'd have Wan-Bissaka. And then I said, but I don't really know anyone else. I said, we're pretty good. And then he said, not even Lisandro Martinez. And I said,
the butcher.
What, over Lewis Dunk or Van Hecker? I said, no. I said, why'd I do that? I said, Van Hecker's better than him at the moment. I said, at this minute in time, I wouldn't swap anyone in that team. And he said, what about Casemiro? And I said, we've got Billy Gilmore, mate, I'm happy. And obviously, again, that comes across like I'm delusional.
Yeah.
But this team works.
That must have rattled so many Man United fans watching that.
Mate, I hope it has.
Hearing a Brighton fan go, you know what, I don't really know who I'd take from Man United. It's nuts.
And do you know what? I hope it did. And the thing is, this is more to the point is, as you say, I wonder how far we've come, but it all just works here. So why change it? I mean, the egos, as we mentioned, that you talk about Danny Welbeck being a nice guy. I'm sure you've got quite a few of these nice guys in that team now because they all play for each other. It's a team, isn't it? I think as soon as you get a Casemiro in, or as soon as you get them sort of big players, five Champions League winners, think that they run the place, that's when things can go wrong. I mean, exactly. A lot of teams try and do that. Exactly.
That's the difference between us and these, like Man United and other clubs that maybe suffer. It's because we've got all of the players in our dressing room are good people. And that you can be really good on the football pitch, but you also have to be a nice person off it and work as a team and have that chemistry and when you see the full-time season, how much everyone fucking loves each other. And even seeing it in Tottenham now, Ange's got the players loving each other, and it matters so much. You can't just buy Rafa Varane because he's won a Champions League and World Cup and think, oh, he's going to fix all the problems. You can't just give Sancho 350k a week from Dortmund because he's done there and think it's going to be fine. You've got to make sure they're actually good people as well. And it seems that Man United have very little of them, which is why you're probably right, well, you are right, it's difficult to think who would you want in that Man United team because none of them seem like obviously Rashford is because of the stuff he does off the pitch. He seems like actually
he's
a decent person.
Cheat though, isn't he?
He actually seems like a fairly decent person, but there's not many people in that. There's not many players in that. Well, actually, there's not many people in that Man United team that seem like these genuine blokes and nice people that
you'd
would
want.
That would we would want.
because like, I wouldn't want Fernandes. I don't care how many goals and assists he gets. Like, I just wouldn't want him in our team. He'd drive me insane. He drives me insane watching him. So I couldn't even begin to imagine him in my team. I don't care how many goals he gets. I'd rather have Gross. And I would. And I'd rather have João Pedro. I'd rather have our players that we've got than Bruno Fernandes. Because it would upset the balance of our team. Yeah. And I think that's what's so good about our recruitment and that everyone bangs on about our recruitment. We haven't even seen Carlos Baleba yet, worth mentioning.
Yeah, and
but we look at the sort of, we identify the players' abilities, attributes, rather than the player's sort of position. We'll just look at what do we need to work in this system, rather than, you know, we need a midfielder to play midfield. We need a right back to play right back. We need, you know what I mean? That's what they'll just do. They'll just go, okay, we need a right back to play right back. Okay, let's go find the best right back in Germany and buy him. That's how you do it on FIFA. You can't do that in real life. Like, it just doesn't work like that. Whereas we'll say, okay, well, we need a right back who can also cover in right-sided centre-back, who could maybe play in midfield and can get up and down the wing. Okay, let's find someone that can sort of play winger, who can drop back deep. You know what I mean? It's different. So I think you can't solve that just by spending 400 million. You know, that's what the biggest point of this is. And that's why Brighton beat Manchester United every time, because we're just better than you, pretty much. But yeah, anyway, enough said about Manchester United. I think, Ansu Fati should have scored. Very, very big shame.
Would have been, like we said, that would have been the cherry on top of the icing on top of the cake. That would have been so good if he'd scored. My God.
Agreed. João Pedro loves it, doesn't he? Coming over to the away end at the end, doing all this. Van Hecker going at this.
And what a lovely great, touch, him doing Julio's celebration as well.
One. Yeah. Oh, right, right at the same time.
That was a lovely good touch. And João Pedro loves it. He loves the club already. And again, just it sums it up perfectly. He seems like a nice person and loves the club. And we've got a team working together brilliantly, whereas Man United look like a team of individuals that are all stroppy. And the fans, they made it so funny when Højlund got taken off and they were booing. My God, they're getting rattled. And obviously, actually, that's what I wanted to say. Obviously, you've seen the Albion a Fuck Off Home. Obviously, that it worked really, really well yesterday because Man United sing that. They sing, "You see United now, fuck off home." So doing it to them was just summed it up perfectly. And seeing the Man United fans leave when that third one went in was so funny. So funny. That's what I want to say. That chant for us, some Brighton fans don't really like it, do they? They think that we're being
cocky. It. It's funny. Isn't
I like it. Funny. It's funny. Yeah. We're not actually being serious. But when we batter teams, it just works and it's funny.
Yeah. It's just because you got to enjoy yourself. I think that's the thing. These people on Twitter and stuff, they'll sit behind their keyboards and start complaining about something they heard in the crowd, about it being a little bit too arrogant, or, you know what I mean? Or they'll see a tweet and they think that we're overhyping somebody just because we said they'd play well. Like, they just want something to moan about. Like, if you ever met them in real life, they're probably just one of them weirdos who just would never speak to you in real life. And they just want to complain about something because they have to complain about something. Otherwise, everything just stops him in the world. So, mate, forget them. Who cares? Like, if you people who go these games, just enjoy it. Like, if you enjoy it however you want to enjoy it, obviously with being respectful, don't be an idiot and kind of beat everyone up. Well, you know, I'm not involved in all that. But, like, just enjoy yourself. You know what I mean? It's not hard, but... Yeah, Manchester United fans well and truly deserve this humble for the years.
Go on, yeah, forgot. The homophobia yesterday, three different times.
Was it?
Outside of the ground. Sorry, not inside. Outside the ground.
I saw one guy at the top do something to Brighton fans.
Oh, really?
At the
I mean, wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, three separate occasions. I called, one of the guys, Corey, said, "Oh, that guy, when we walked out of the Spoons, apparently the guys were going, gay, gay, gay." And then Corey, this kid called Corey told me. I didn't actually hear it, but I called him out for it. And then, other occasions when they were saying it. And then also, they're calling us shirt lifters when we were walking back to the station, which apparently like a really, really old term that they used to use. And then when we were getting off the tram, this Man United fan that was stood next to the door, bearing in mind, like, Jack's mum was there. He was trying to trip us up, and he tried tripping up Jack's mum. And we were like, what are you doing? He just kept sticking his foot out, so I kicked his foot. And he was so rattled. And we all just went up to him, like, giving it to him. And he just looked, he looked like absolute shat himself. He said, just, why are you trying to trip up a woman? Absolutely weird. Rattled. And shit fans, mate. And they deserve all the pain and misery that they're going through right now.
I agree. I actually agree with you. And They really deserve it. Them and Chelsea fans, they deserve it. They all them years, like, just unbearable years of them winning titles and winning everything, and they're all just taking photos of it and loving it. And I just hate it. Every single second of it, I'd hate it. And I just think, oh, you're just so unbearable.
Instead of taking pictures of trophies, they're taking pictures and filming João Pedro celebrating now, which
shows how the tables have turned. Henri celebration, didn't it? It was fantastic, that was.
I can't believe a Man United fan got his phone out to start filming Brighton celebrations. That's
No, I agree. Although I would have liked him to come over to our fan, João Pedro, that would have been better. But yeah, he rattled quite a few, so it's all right. Okay, I think that's pretty much it for the game.
We're good here. I think off air, I said probably do 25 minutes.
No, it's never, though, is it? Because, like, let's be honest, this is one of the best times for a podcast you could ever call for. After you've beaten United 3-1, I love saying that, and I think it's great. I could say that so many times. I think I'm going to say it all day today, beating my United 3-1 at Old Trafford.
Get tattooed.
So why not just milk a pod? Like, there's going to be people enjoying this, watching this, thinking this is just prolonging it. Making it even better, celebrating it for another hour.
And I hope we have, if you're listening or watching, I hope we've done that and you're still buzzing after the unbelievable result, because, I feel my social battery is drained already. It's only 12:30 on a Sunday and I'm done for the day. That's me down. After this, I'm not talking to anyone. Yeah, same. I need to eat. I haven't eaten yet. Right. Shall we wrap up then?
Yeah, okay, I think that's pretty much everything done then. Brighton are very, very good at football. We're only just getting started as well. That's what's mad. Think about our bench, for God's sake, how much we had on our bench as well. I mean, it's an insane time to be a Brighton fan. We're bringing on Ansu Fati, João Pedro, James Milner, Evan Ferguson, just off the bench when we're already winning 3-0 or 2-0. So this is the good times, ladies and gents. Enjoy it. Make sure you are, because it's... You don't know when it's going to end, but more importantly, you don't know how long it's going to go on for. So let's
try
and enjoy every minute of it.
And then we win the title. That'll be it.
Yeah. Title contenders, you heard it first. But yeah, anyways, get your bets on. And we'll see you probably just before Athens in the Europa League. The next time we see Brighton play will be in the Europa League at the Amex. Until then, make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and we'll see you very soon. Peace. Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.